right. My name is Tim Clark. I brought my cardboard cutout with me, my wife Eileen. She's invisible. You'll have to see her on the prayer card. We have been, I was ordained in this church in 1985, and we have been supported by this church for a number of years. And so what I want to do before I start anything else is express my gratitude to this church, to the people of this church, to Pastor Sean and others for their continued investment in the ministries that the Clark family has been involved in. That's been, first of all, working with the American military in Germany, pastored a church there for 17 years, and then came back in 2002, worked with another mission agency. And in 2015, we began, me and Walter Stevens began a ministry called Roma Outreach Missions Association. And it's focused on the Roma people of the world. The Roma people, you know them as the Gypsies. And so most of my ministries are found in Eastern Europe, in Romania, Hungary, Ukraine. We've had some contacts in Bulgaria and other places around the world. And so what I'm going to do is show you a video about our ministry. And in it, it covers some facts about the Gypsy people that most people don't know about. I was in Canada teaching in a youth camp up in Canada, and I was introducing the Roma ministries. I asked them, how many of you know something about the Gypsy people? And a little kid raised his hand, and I said, go ahead. And he said, aren't they the people that circle the wagons and dance around the fire? And I said, not so much anymore. And so here are some just some facts about the Roma people, where they come from, who they are. And then in the Sunday school lesson, I'll share some other things about the Roma people. Okay, so if you would, please.
Gypsies. Who are they? Where are they? What are they? Are they just a figment of grandma's imagination? You know, the grandma that used to warn you that the gypsies might kidnap you? Are they mythical characters of werewolf and vampire movies? Are they, as Webster describes, a dark-haired, dark-eyed, nomadic people? Yes, they are people. Human lives with ever-living, never-dying souls, existing in their own very secretive and private worlds. They are moms, dads, sons, daughters, grandmas, grandpas. They are people who are very much like you and me, but yet very different. They are a people who have not blended into any society in which they live. A people who have become a culture within a culture worldwide. An ethnic group who have preserved their language and speak it in almost every country of their sojourn. A closed society who only married those of their own race, with very few exceptions. Gypsies, or as they are properly called, the Roma people, originated in India. It is believed that they began to migrate westward to other countries way back in the 10th century. Some experts teach that they possibly left India due to the fact that they were the lowest of the low of the Hindi caste system of religious belief, where they were known as the untouchables, the pariahs, the dogs, the outcasts. But not only were they the outcasts of India, they soon began to find that wherever they went in the world, they came to be rejected as outcasts there as well. As they wandered from country to country, their plight only worsened. Throughout Europe, they were hated and shunned. They were Romania's Tsigan, Germany's Ziegenur, Greece's Giftos, and Spain's Gitanos, all variations of the same word, outcasts. They were enslaved in many Eastern European countries for several centuries. Yet even with their emancipation in the mid-1800s, their situation only worsened as Gypsy persecution escalated. Under Hitler in World War II Germany, they were considered to be pollution to the Aryan race, to be treated as rodents, pests, and parasites that needed to be exterminated from the fatherland. It has been estimated that some 600,000 gypsies were slaughtered in Hitler's death camps. The Nazis would use the long, dark, beautiful hair of the gypsy women to stuff the mattresses of their military. And they would rip the silver and gold from gypsy mouths to fuel the Third Reich's war machine. And even today in Europe, little has changed for the Roma people. Though they are the so-called poster children of human rights violations for the European Union, the persecution and hatred is still about the same. In many former communist countries, they were given parcels of land, but always on the outskirts of town. Under the socialist regimes, they received welfare checks in a feeble attempt to solve the so-called Roma problem. Since the supposed fall of communism, they are now even more destitute. There is still the same old hatred and discrimination against them. Most businesses and industries will not employ them. Thus, they resort to begging or stealing or conning for their survival. Of course, as you can well imagine, such behaviors make their reputation among the indigenous people among whom they live only worse. The physical condition of Roma people is heartbreaking, to say the least. Yet they endure something more terrible than all of this. Far worse than the hatred and poverty is the spiritual condition of their souls. Imagine the horror of living out the wretched history of ostracized existence that the Roma have experienced, only to end up spending eternity in hell, separated from God Himself and His people forever. This is a situation far too intolerable to believe or accept. Yet, tragically, because the Gypsies have been one of the most hated people groups in the world, they have also been one of the least evangelized ethnic groups in existence today. How then do we reach these folks? A people that Satan has held in his clutches for centuries. People who are lost and entangled in a web of sin, fortune-telling, thievery, idol worship, tradition, superstition, and hatred toward all other races. God has to do a remarkable work of grace in reaching a handful of gypsies and then burdening and equipping them to reach back into their culture with the liberating gospel of Jesus Christ.
For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
Introducing Roma Outreach Missions Association. As the Church faces perilous times in these last days, we must consider that the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is imminent. With a burning passion and love for God and His Son, being led by the Holy Spirit and energized with a sense of urgency, we endeavor to create an organization that reaches out to the unreached and overlooked people groups of the world with the gospel. We consider the Roma people to be the prime example of these unevangelized, and while we will focus primarily on the gypsies of the world, we will also include all forgotten and marginalized people groups. By God's grace, we will accomplish these goals by educating the body of Christ, making sure that these neglected people are exposed to the church and no longer kept secret. And we will do so for the specific purposes of raising up manpower and finances to evangelize, plant churches, train preachers, and call forth an army of saints to do the same.
Take your Bibles and open them to Romans chapter 1. So what I'm going to be doing this morning is try to inform you about this people group. This people group that people have stereotyped, missed stereotyped, and that kind of thing. Can I get the beginning slide, or do you want me to do it? There you go. I've been asked to make a gospel application to my people group. My people group is the Roma people. So we're going to start with the gospel. And so in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse number 14, Paul writes, and he says, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. As much as in me is, I am ready," in the ESV, it's eager, "to preach the gospel," and I am ready and eager to preach the gospel. Ready to preach the gospel, where am I here? "To you that are in Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed of telling people about Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of telling folks of their sinful condition and how they can't change their sinful condition. Only God can. I'm not ashamed of doing that. And so many times we get in places where we find people that are ashamed of being a child of God, ashamed of how they became a child of God, ashamed of sharing the gospel. We ought not be ashamed. So he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto..." Let me back up here where I'm at. "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And, of course, we would ask, well, what is the gospel? A lot of folks have an idea of what the gospel is, but the gospel clearly stated by Paul in 1 Corinthians is the death for our sins according to the Scriptures, his burial and his resurrection according to the Scriptures. And by the way, his resurrection was proved by being seen among many people. Many people saw him, and Paul said, "Last of all me, as one born out of season." And so the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is by the way, it's not just the words. It says it's the power of God. It's not just, it's what the words explain, what the word symbolizes, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. So the idea then is with this gospel, how does it apply? How does it work? And I really like what Brother Basham said a little bit ago, or what he implied, and that is you need to deliver the gospel within the context of the culture of the people. You need to understand their culture to understand how to give them the gospel. You can't just go over, I tell missionaries all the time, and I've been involved in missions for a number of years, I tell them all the time, you're not over there to Americanize a group of people. You don't go to Thailand to Americanize Thailand. You don't go to Germany or to the Muslims, Brother Aaron, to Americanize them. You go to evangelize them. And the tool we have to evangelize them is the gospel. And so how does that apply? How do I apply the gospel to the Roma people? Well, first of all, am I doing this or are you doing that? I'll do it. First of all, it's a gospel of hope to a people without hope. You can say, well, a people without hope. Well, let's just read a couple of verses. Colossians chapter, and I don't have them on the screen. So you'll have to use your Bible to shape. Imagine that. Amen. We've become so dependent on technology and screens, we forgot that we have Bibles. I was preaching somewhere not too long ago, and I got up to preach, and I said, "Take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever device you use to read your Bible off of." I like reading the Bible. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Colossians 1:27 says, "To whom God hath made would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Why is that important? Most of us understand the word hope and what it means. If I were to say to you, you have a hope, you would understand what I mean, what I'm talking about. You'd understand that hope is a confident expectation, a confident assurance of something to come, something that you have. Well, here's the problem with the Roma people, the Gypsy people. You heard in the presentation that they have a language, a common language that is spoken in most countries in which they live. And then, of course, I would say that that language is common, but there are some dialectic differences because it is a very, very limited vocabulary. As a matter of fact, in the Roma language, the Romani language, there is no word that expresses the idea of hope. So if I talk to them about hope, I can't, and somebody's translating from English to Romani, which is the Gypsy language, I come to and I say the word hope and they sit and look at me. So what they've done is they've borrowed the word from other languages. In Romania, it's speranza. In other places, it's another word. And they have to insert that word. Why? Because they don't have a word for hope. They are literally, if you will, they are literally a people without hope. Can you imagine that? All of us have a hope of something. We go to work and we have a hope of a paycheck. Why? Because we have the assurance, confident assurance, that the boss is going to actually pay us for what the work we've done. We go to the doctor and we have a hope of being healed. We have a hope when we hear the gospel and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we get born again. Then we have a hope of eternity. We have that confidence and assurance that what God said He would do, He will do, because God never reneges on any of His promises. I heard a song. I sang a song this last week. It had these words in it. How unwavering our hope. That's amazing, isn't it? How unwavering our hope. You know, a hope that is not solid, a hope that can be taken away, a hope that can be lost, is no hope at all. Our biggest difficulty sometimes in some of the countries I go to is, and I'm not laying this on the doorstep of this group here in the States. The group that I'm going to address is a much more active, much more forceful in Eastern Europe, and that's the Pentecostal group. And of course, one of their great tenets is not, and I'm not going to highlight the misuse of the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to highlight the fact that they don't believe that you can be eternally secure. They believe you can lose, you can do something to lose your salvation. Well, let me help you with something. I never did anything to gain my salvation. Amen. Jesus did it all. Right. He paid every bit of it. Right. Christ paid it all to Him I owe. I know that's not scripture, but it's a great theological term in a song. He paid it all. There's not a thing I can do to earn my salvation. Therefore, there's nothing I can do to lose my salvation. Right. I'm secure. So when I have Jesus Christ in my heart, Christ in you, the hope of glory, I have a real hope. I have a hope that Christ will do what Christ actually said He will do. And if He doesn't, He ain't much of a God. Well, here you've got to transfer this idea to a people who don't understand what hope is. It's a gospel of hope to a people without hope. Number two. It's a gospel of acceptance to people often rejected. You heard in the video, that's why I wanted to play the video first so I don't have to go and repeat everything, that they've been rejected in most every country they've gone to. I read when I first became involved with the Roma people, my partner, Walter Stevens, who you heard, he's an American gypsy, who you heard on that clip on that video. He gave me a book to read when I got there. The book is entitled, if you want to go and get it, it's a great book. It's not an easy read, but it's the history of the Gypsy people in Eastern Europe and Russia. And each chapter tells how each different country dealt with their Gypsy problem. And all of it was rejection of some sort. whether it was we're going to reject your culture, we're going to reject your language and make you become a part of us, assimilate you, take away your language, take away your culture, take away your history and give you ours and make you one of us, although we're not going to accept you really because you're different. So in every place they've gone, they've been rejected. Well, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. I'm not only redeemed, I'm accepted by God. I'm brought into the family of God. I'm accepted by God. And here's a group of people that need to know that somebody cares about them. Somebody really does accept them just the way they are. I was talking to Pastor Sean yesterday in between some things that were going on. There was a bunch going on all over the place. And I captured a moment just to spend some time with him. And I was telling him that in most countries, they have been run out. That's why people see them as travelers all the time. In Slovakia, years and years and years ago, in Slovakia, if they caught gypsies, they would take them to the border. They would cut a notch in their nose or in their ear and then send them away. If they found a gypsy in their country who had a notched nose or notched ear, they would kill them. They don't want them around. Here's a group of people who have been rejected. That's why they're all over the world, because they've never been able to settle in one spot. So it's a gospel of acceptance for people who have often been rejected. In their travels, they have more often than not been forced to move on. The countries that kept them as slaves. Romania enslaved the gypsy people, bought and sold them as slaves, just like here in America with a group of people. Bought and sold them as slaves for over 400 years. And the attitude of slavery versus master still exists. Although it's not active, it still exists in Romania. I was walking with a Romanian gypsy. We walked into a magazine store. And as we walked in, the Romanian proprietor of the store said something to everybody else that was in the store. And there you could sense a difference in the attitude of the people. And so I asked my translator, Mirci Pricup, I asked Brother Mirci, I said, what were they talking about? He said the cashier warned everybody that the gypsies were in the store. Everybody watch out. They've been rejected. Now in Christ Jesus, they have somebody that has accepted them. Just like you've been accepted, if you know Christ is your Savior, if you've been birthed again into the family of God, you have been accepted in Jesus Christ by God Almighty. Wow, what a thought. The Creator of the universe. And like I said, it was said today or the other day in the retreat that we don't often go back and see Him as the Creator of the universe. He's just, you know, our Daddy God, you know, that gives us all good things. But here's the God that created everything, and He takes us in. And He takes the Roma people in too, and they need to understand that somebody cares about them. Then number three, it's the gospel of inclusion to a people more normally excluded. I mentioned in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those certain ones that have been picked out. No, to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also the Greek. 1 John chapter 2, go there please. 1 John chapter 2, I've got some time. I've been involved in the training of missionaries, and time is important. He says in verse number 2, chapter 2 of 1 John, he says, and He is the propitiation, that is the satisfaction. He's not just the atonement, not just the covering for our sin. He's the satisfaction for our sin. He's the propitiation for our sin, and not our sin only, but for the sins of the whole world. Or what does that encompass? Somebody help me out. What does that encompass when we say he's the propitiation for the sins of the whole world? Somebody help me out. Somebody tell me what that covers. All people. If I were to say he was for the sins of all the world, then I'd have to define the word all, wouldn't I? And so I looked up the word all. How many of you know what it means? It means all. I'm pretty simple, you know. I just really simple. It means all. I was talking to Brother Aaron and Brother Phil before, and we were trying to define or decide how they determined who was going to do first, second, and third. And I said, "Well, I'm the dinosaur in the room, and I'm the old guy." And they put the old guy in between the two young guys, you know. So. Get everything settled out, you know, the old guy's going to stumble over his words and drool a little bit. And I love humor. Amen. Clean humor. So he's the gospel of inclusion. God includes the gypsies in the redemption plan. He doesn't say, "Well, I've a redemption for the Jewish people and for the Greek people." He's redemption for all people, the whole world. Anybody that will hear the gospel, put their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and trust Christ, they can be born again. Anybody. And so it's not a matter of this group of people saying, "Okay, well, I have to work my way in." No, they're all able to come in. The Roma people have the Roma are people who have either by themselves or by the indigenous people of their respective nations have been excluded from all major aspects of society. They've given them land on the outside. I've been in those villages. I live in one of those villages when I'm over there, and the further you go to the edge of the village, the poorer it gets. 10 by 10 block rooms with no electricity, no indoor facilities, no running water, and no floor other than the dirt that they built the building on. And a family of 6 children and a husband and a wife live in that 10 by 10 block building. We started an institute in Tinca, Romania, and I go and I've been teaching there now for a number of years. We've had several men graduate from the institute. We've installed them as pastors of the churches that we have established or used our gypsy men to establish. So these are gypsy men reaching their gypsy men. I went to the institute one time, and most of my students were gone. I said, "Gitsa," I says, "where are all the students?" He says, "They've opened a factory not far from here, and they have hired the gypsies and are teaching them how to make cable, electrical cable." And I said, "Well, that's great." And he explained to me that the Romania is part of the European Union. But it's not a full-fledged member of the European Union. It hasn't taken the euro. But they would like to. I hope they never do. It'll ruin their economy, which is already a bad economy. But what they've done then is, in order to become a full-fledged member, they have to check off the boxes. You know what I mean? They have to do certain things. One of those things is certain things for their minority communities. And the gypsies are the biggest minority community in Romania. And so they have taken them and they've hired them in this cable factory to teach them an occupation so that they can be included. And so the European Union officials, they come to Oradea, they come to Tinca, and there they look and they see these gypsies working in this factory, and they take their pad of paper and they check the box off, and they put the pad of paper back in their briefcase. They fly back to Belgium, to Brussels, and and settle down there and say, Romania has done this to help there, so they're moving forward. And so the next time I come back, all my students are there in class like they're supposed to be. And I said, what's going on? I said, as soon as the European Union officials left, they fired all the gypsies and hired Romanians in their place. They're just used to get a box checked off. They've been excluded in all major aspects of the society in Romania, in Hungary, in Bulgaria, where I've been a couple times, and now where I've started ministry in Ukraine. It's the same thing. They've been excluded from the major aspects of society. It's a gospel of inclusion for those who have often been excluded. Number four, it's the gospel of the kingdom for a people without a nation. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall come the end. There are almost 40 million gypsies in the world today. And none of them live in their own country. None of them have a country they can call their own. They have a flag. They have a gypsy flag. I have one in the car. They have a congress where they get together and they talk about things. This last year, I think it was the first year that they had a gypsy, international gypsy appreciation day or respect day. They have a quote, national anthem. But they don't have a country. So when I say I'm to the gypsies of Eastern Europe, I'm to the gypsies of the world. Why? Because they're all over the world. We just had a fellow from Mexico come through Bradenton, Florida, through our training, and we found out in his village in Mexico where he's going to plant a church are 200 gypsies. There are gypsies in the Far East. There's gypsies in India. My friend Walter Stevens, every Friday morning, conducts a Skype Bible study with a group of gypsies in Pakistan. And we have two or three groups of gypsies in India that want us to do the same thing. Now, they're all over the world, but they don't have a country of their own. You could say, I'm an American, and I have a country, I have a flag, I have a home in America, I have boundaries around that marks me off as American, but the gypsies can't say that. They can only say we're Roma people, and we have a united culture, and we have a united language, but we do not have a boundary, a border in which we can call our own. Now, I'm not saying that we should go out and kick somebody out of their country and move all the gypsies there. I'm just saying there's a people that don't have the concept of nationality. They have a concept of ethnicity, but not the concept of nationality. And here now, they are going to be citizens of the kingdom. They have a country. They have a land that's a country that you and I have. They have a king, and it's King Jesus, the same king you and I have. It's a gospel of a kingdom for a people without a country. That's amazing to most of us when we talk about it, that they don't have their own country. They don't have their own land. And then lastly, it's a gospel of eternity for a people without a future. I go back to the first point. And that idea of they don't have a word for hope, they don't have a word that expresses the idea of a future. Gypsies live for the day. We started our institute. We were running 2 weeks four times a year for 3 years, so a three-year institute. They go away with a complete Bible knowledge, send them out, get them involved in ministry, help them plant churches, and that kind of thing. But you're playing on this idea they don't have an idea of what a future is. You know, we talk about laying up treasures. Help me out now. Laying up treasures in heaven. So we're laboring not for today. We're laboring for the future. We're laboring so that we have something that, and I don't know about the theology and everything, but some crown that we can cast before the feet of our Savior in the future kingdom where we'll live. We have a future, and they don't. They have today. I was in that institute and we were doing four times a year, and I show up in the summertime and nobody's there. Why? Because they're off in another country laboring, working so they can put money away for the future that they have. And the only future they have is next fall, winter, and spring so they can do it all over again. The Roma people. Now, I've got 6 minutes, and I'm going to open it up to just a few questions. So if you have a question about the Gypsy people, who they are, their culture, they have a completely, and it was referred to, they have a, it's a subculture. If you have a question, I would be glad to try to answer the question. Nice and loud, Brother Germany. Yes.
What religion, if any, do they practice? Or is it
a they're very spiritual. They have a word for God. It's Devla. Not the devil. It's Devla. Ashen Devlesko is Ashen, or is God go with you. And they worship a God, but it's not the God we worship. They have a sense of somebody bigger than them. But they haven't really defined it as the God you and I talk about. What they do in most of the countries where they have settled, they assimilate the major religion of that country in the stands. Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, and all the stands. You know what I'm talking about. The major religion in those countries is Islam or Muslim. And so many of the Gypsy villages are Muslim. Not because they want to be Muslim, but because it helps them to assimilate or to hide amongst the culture. We play on the idea that they understand there is a God, so we work from that. Okay? Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay? Yes, sir.
Do the Roma people have the Bible in their
own? No. They're just now coming out with a Bible. And again, it's a limited vocabulary. And so many words that we use, they don't have a word for. And then when you talk about theological terms, it's very difficult. But there is now a New Testament in the Romani language. I've not looked at it. I couldn't understand it anyway. I'd have to give it to Walter, who is fluent in Romani. Okay? Anybody else? Yes, sir, in the back. Yes, for the most part. They come in, they take the jobs, they come in and they live off the people. They come in and because they can't get into the society, because they come in, they're so different. And they are different. They come in, they're so different that people don't like them around. And so one of the things that I think it referred to, one of the things they have to do is they have to revert to thievery, to begging on the streets. You know, you drive into Oradea, Romania, and you pull up at a stop sign, and there'll be little boys with a leg tied up like this. You don't see it. And he's coming, or he's scooting around on a thing, begging, and wanting you to give him some coin. You give him some coin later on. He rolls his little scooter back to where mom and dad are, pulls his coin out, gives it to mom and dad, gets up, they cut the tie, and he stands up and walks off. They live on the street a lot of times. They live begging. There are some rich ones who have become tin makers, and they do ornate roofs and gutters and that type of thing. They're a little bit wealthy, and they look down on the other gypsies. Okay, does that answer your question? Okay. Yes, sir.
The idea of education. What's your view?
Most gypsies, and I'm talking about not only gypsies in Eastern Europe and Western Europe and South America and Central America. There's a million gypsies that live here in this country. And most of them will pull their children out of school by the time they're fourth or fifth grade and teach them. Understand, they don't work for McDonald's. They don't work for the supermarket. They don't work for the company. Most gypsies work for themselves. In Cleveland, Ohio, we have a ministry in Cleveland, Ohio, out of Cleveland Baptist Church, Gypsy Outreach Ministries, and most of the men that are there have roofing businesses, or they are paving businesses, or parking lot striping. Some of them will go and to the doctors and collect X-ray film, and turn it in for recycling so they can get money. There are some that are farmers, but most of your gypsies do not work for somebody else. And so they pull their kids out of school for two reasons. They pull their kids out of school so they can train them in the family business. Or they pull them out of school so they don't become too Americanized or too, I'm going to use the term, too much like a gajo. A gajo is a male non-gypsy. Gaji is a female non-gypsy. Gajé is the neuter term for a non-gypsy. Yeah. It's either gypsy or not gypsy. You're either Rom or you're Gajo. And they don't want to lose their culture. They don't want to lose that. And so they pull their kids. Walter Stevens has a sixth grade education. Now he's gone on and educated himself and that type of thing. But his formal education is sixth grade. Okay, well, that has to be the last one because it's 10:30. All right, so let's pray together. Or do you want to do that, Pastor? Okay, Father, we do thank you for the time that we've had together this morning, learning a little bit more about the Roma people, learning how the gospel applies, and it applies not just to the Roma people, it applies to everybody. And I pray, Father, you'd bless in the service to follow me with Brother Aaron as he stands and preaches the Word of God. I pray, Father, you'd speak to my heart. You know, Father, I always need something from your Word. Bless the time to follow, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.